Well, it's Cinco de Mayo. Happy Cinco de Mayo, and celebrating with us in the second half of the Henry Raines Show here is our guest, Terry Brock. Before we introduce him, I do want to remind you, coming up, the next Bradenton Blockchain Business and Development Meetup will be Wednesday, May 16th at 5:30 in the afternoon. Our guest will be Anthony Bugando from Professional Credentialing Exchange in partnership with Hashed Health out of Nashville. And the focus will be blockchain and healthcare. Our next guest is a returning guest, and we're happy to have him here. Terry Brock is a member of the Professional Speaker Hall of Fame. He's a certified speaking professional. He's a syndicated columnist with business journals, a 43-paper network across the U.S. He's the host of Bitcoin.com TV, and he is prolific on Steemit and DTube, and it's one of the things that he's going to help us get some understanding of. But let's not waste any time in welcoming Terry back. Terry, thank you for joining us today.
Hey, it's great to be with you. Let's create some magic.
Well, we will do that, and we will ask for the help of the other people in the studio here. Augie is here, Cara Haas, blockchain CPA, novelist Sabine Priestley is all here joining in. And Terry, well, first of all, the last time you talked to us, terrybrock.com still is your website, but there was a lot of content there, and you've been moving a lot to the blockchain, as in Steemit.com and DTube. Tell us about the evolution for content creators and how they deliver their product to their audience.
Well, thanks for asking. That's really important. I think it's one of the most exciting things about what's happening with blockchain and crypto, that people have come up with innovative new platforms on how you can put your content out there in the form of text, video, audio, pictures, or whatever, and then get paid for it. It's like, I know we all use Facebook, and I know this is probably going to surprise you, but I've written a lot on Facebook, and not once has Mark Zuckerberg ever given me any money. Isn't that shocking?
Well,
my content, I know, is so good that he should pay me, but instead they don't. Well, of course, that's not the way their model works. But with Steemit, it's just one example, and it's probably the leader in the world on that. You can put your content there and literally get paid in that and turn it into U.S. fiat dollars or euros or whatever.
So tell us a little bit more now, for people that aren't familiar, Steemit.com, Steemit.com. What exactly is it? How did that come to be? How did it start?
Yeah, it was created a couple years ago in 2016, and so it's relatively new on platform. They still call it beta. And it's the idea that you can put content there, and then based on what people say about you, what they do, the term is really an upvote. If they say, hey, I like what that guy Henry Raines has done, it's really good content, I'm going to upvote him. And depending on how much Steem power someone has, and again, it's S-T-E-E-M, two E's in there, Steem power you have, how much you've kind of vested in, think of it like stocks, how many stocks you own, then how much voting power you would have in a corporation. Then someone can vote for that and give you everywhere from nothing to a penny to literally hundreds of dollars, just depending on their position. And I love it. It gives a chance with no censorship. That's real nice. No censorship to say what you want to do, and you don't have to worry about someone like Facebook or YouTube or others out there that have been very famous lately of banning certain content that they find they don't like. And, of course, that's their platform. They have the right to do that. But it's nice to have a platform where censorship does not exist.
It's called Steemit, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It does have issues, though. It's a complicated platform.
Well, let me get to that in just a second, because before, just to round this out, so that was beneficial for print media, but now they've expanded into audio and video, too. So they have a couple other platforms, right?
Yeah, these are platforms that are independent, but they support Steemit, so you get paid in your Steem dollars, which, by the way, are correlated to be at least par with the U.S. dollar. So one Steem dollar should be at least one U.S. dollar. Often it's a lot more. But you would do that on DTube. D as in decentralized. There's also a platform called DSound, and there's another one called SteepShot, came out just a few weeks ago. That's S-T-E-E-P and then S-H-O-T, SteepShot, where it's a competitor. It looks very much like Instagram. So you can put pictures up there, your slides, or that. And then DTube gives you the ability to post videos, and you can put the video there. And you're, many, many people have now migrated from YouTube over to DTube. Not necessarily always leaving YouTube, although some do. I find I use both. I use YouTube because, hey, I like it. I think there's a lot of good information there to consume, and I put a lot of content up on YouTube regularly. And you can also put it on DTube as a separate platform and earn money that way.
All right. Well, Sabine here is the one that most relies on creating content and having an audience for her livelihood. You can find out more about that at SabinePriestley.com. But you were about to say that you have some questions or problems with Cement.
Well, so I've been looking. I checked out Cement. The two things there, it's, you know, but these are early days. It's a young platform. But problematically, it's a complicated platform. A lot of people try to use it and just left because they can't. The other thing is that you can get an disproportionate amount of influence within that system just by buying more steam. So people can literally buy their way to the top performers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a problem. But more to the point, I think, so for books in particular, the problem is still that regardless of where I put my book at, whether it's Amazon or if I'm putting it on my website, once you get that file, I have no way to stop people from sharing it and from pirating it. That is a piece that I still want to do. Now, I don't know if you've heard of Publica. That's recently launched. It's specifically for books. But we're still dealing with the same thing. You know, without going back to DRM, which never really worked, but that
DRM.
Digital rights management. It's,
okay.
It's a file locking system, basically, that if you have it enabled in your work, then nobody can read it if they don't have it.
Now, when I buy something from Amazon, doesn't that limit to the number of devices or something that I can use it on?
Yeah.
There's a lot of ways to pirate. There's a lot of ways for people to get the content out there.
Right.
So
Terry,
that's still a problem, platform independent. So if I could find a platform that could somehow guarantee that the person that bought that book can read it, that would be something. That will be a game changer. I think it will happen. We just haven't gotten there yet.
Well, how are we going to change the game, Terry?
I think the game has already changed, and realistically, it could take a lot of effort, but no matter what you do with DRM or any other technology yet to come, if I can consume a book, I can buy it, it can be copied. Someone can take a picture of each page. I can dictate it. I mean, if I'm willing to go to a lot of extra work. And so I think I hear you, because I'm an author myself. I mean, we wrote a book, McGraw Hill came to us, and we wrote a book a few years ago, my partner and I, about clout. It's with a K, Clout Matters. And it became a bestseller on Amazon in a particular category. And it was nice, but did people steal it? Well, not too much, but they probably could and might have done that. And I feel for you. As a fellow author, as a journalist myself, we want to protect that. But I think we also have to look at the reality is whatever book you put out, whatever protection you put on it, I could turn around and share it with 40 million of my closest friends in China, and there's not a whole lot we can do. So I think what we have to do is change our way of marketing and how we write and what we're going to do so that when someone steals it, it's kind of like if they stole my ad promoting something saying, hey, I want you to come over and buy this, and they stole that and made a lot of copies of that, hey, that's okay. I don't mind that. And we have to turn it around realizing they're going to do it. I think of my friend Randy Gage, who down in Miami, and he's out in San Diego as well. He's written a lot of books. He goes over to Russia and speaks a lot, different places around the world. People will bring in the fake copy of his book and ask him to autograph it and sign it. He just chuckles and laughs and signs
it
because these people just paid to
charge for the autograph. There you go.
Yeah, well, exactly. So you find multiple ways that you can make money, not just that one, because this is the reality.
And getting into a different platform is really key, too, because, you know, as an author, Amazon is the 800-pound gorilla in the room that I think a lot of us would like to get out from under.
But Terry, just thinking out loud here, so Sabine has these novels, and some of the characters are recurring, right? So what if she created short stories, particularly for Steemit, that fed people that wanted to read the novels about these characters? Would that be a strategy?
Oh, I love it. I think that's a great way to do it. Think about other ways you can make money. Like, for instance, we can buy a book from, I would imagine, would I be correct saying I could get one of your books legitimately for, say, less than $20? Would that be correct?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so less than $20. Here's an Andrew Jackson, give me however many books that would get. But that's limited. What I can do, though, what if I could tie into a secret place where I give you notice that, yes, I did buy the book. You can see I registered or you showed me a receipt or something like that. And now I get into the secret club. So that the first Wednesday of every month, you are there talking to us about the new characters. You're talking to us about plot developments, or we're going in depth into chapter 4 in one of your books and really talking about it. And if I really like your books, now I get a chance to be a member of that for, say, $100 a year, $200
a year,
whatever.
I like that.
I'm getting what I want by being around hundreds of other people that bought the book, and we're sharing from all around the world, and you are making money on that. But the book, yeah, it might have been pirated. We can't do a whole lot on it.
It's a dangling olive in the drink, right?
Yeah, it's an interesting thought. I think that partly, too, you're looking at the audience. So I write romance, and I know from the people that I've dealt with is that a significant user base, reader base, they have very limited income, extremely limited income. And, you know, so anything that's kind of a subscription-based, which everybody's doing now, you know, Office is doing it, and Photoshop is, everybody's doing a subscription-based. If authors are going to have a limited amount of influence. Now, if you're writing books about financial investing, chances are the people reading them are going to have a lot more.
Well, it sounds like it's just a question of price point, then.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, Sabine, here's something that's going to make you money. You can take this down. And those of you listening on this, this is something that can happen. There's another platform we haven't mentioned that ties into Steemit called DLive. And it's where you can put out live broadcasts.
Terry, hold that thought just for a second. You're listening to WWPR, 1490 AM, Bradenton, Sarasota, St. Petersburg, Tampa Bay. Go ahead, please.
Sure. And you know, what you can do is you can go on DLive, and you could have that club that's there. So you would be able to bring in people, those that have paid, those that haven't. And if you bring it in those that haven't, they get involved, but you give them an incentive to buy something else that you have. And then you can do that. And then all of those people, there's a lot of women on Steemit. One of the things I love about Steemit is more than any other social media platform, or you should say on the cryptocurrency platform, there's an estimated about 40% women on there, which is a lot for cryptocurrency. And there's a lot of it from other countries. But the nice thing about Steemit, they all have approximately $25 per day that is given to them that they can allocate to someone so they can upvote you. And now you take that and multiply it out, 1,000, 2,000 people that love you, and they're in a third world country. They really like what you're doing. They know that they can tie into it at Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. or whatever. And now you are getting paid for that through Steemit. And that is the way it's structured. Using DLive would be an option. Use Steemit itself. Have a place there, a position, and it can happen. Matter of fact, it is happening. There are many people that are doing that right now.
I'm intrigued. He's pulling me in.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking at Sabine, and unlike most of the times on the show, she has that somewhat faraway look, like she's really thinking. As opposed to the bemusement she usually has looking at the rest of us.
Yeah, money does that. Matter of fact, I got to say something. Henry, you and I were talking this morning. You know, we called just to touch base. I think it was like a 10, 20 or whatever, and we were on a Zoom call just seeing each other, and you gave me some really good ideas. And so what I did is I thought, hey, I'm going to do this. So since that time to, what is it right now, 13:02, so a little after 1 o'clock in the afternoon here, I put out two posts on the Steemit family. One of them went into D-Sound.
Before you say it, I want to say it, and I stole those ideas from Sabine.
Oh, okay.
So now
hear
what your ideas did, Sabine.
Yeah, one thing I did, Sabine, by the way, here's another way you can, and Kara, this is a way that you can do it as well. What I did is I went back to an old article that I did years ago for business journals. There's the text on my screen, I saw it, and I thought, let me take that. I revised it just a little bit, updated it just enough, then I recorded it. Sat down the microphone, recorded it, really made it fun and nice. Then put some music into it and popped it up on D-Sound this morning. It took me approximately, 15, 20 minutes to do all of that. And I called it the F words for business. So people go, oh, what are you talking about there? Well, okay. And already, as I'm looking at it right now as we're recording this, I've made $45.22 on that. And so not a lot, but hey, that'll buy a couple of bottles of sake. So that's a good thing. And then in talking to Henry, he told me, Sabine, what you had said, I thought was so clever. Today is May the 5th, Cinco de Mayo Day, but also it is the day after Star Wars Day. You know, May the 4th be with you, that we all talk about and joke. And so he told me what you said, that today is May the 5th, the Revenge of the 5th. I took that, came up with an idea of that, saying, okay, what would be the revenge? Oh, and I kind of thought of like a Montezuma's revenge thing, but I thought, wait a minute, no. It's for the people who were celebrating too much on Star Wars Day and now have a hangover. So I went over to Wikipedia, want to make sure it's fair, clean, and I'm doing everything legally, copyright, and royalty-free. Went over, got a picture of someone drunk, put over there the revenge of the fifth, post Star Wars Day. Already, as I'm looking at it, I've made $18.98. So somebody with a calculator, $18.98 plus $45.22, I have made since Henry and I talked this morning. That is the power of Steam It and the platforms where we're going today.
Okay. Well, Terry, before we go into another topic, let's make sure people know how to find you. We've already mentioned terrybrock.com, TerryBrock.com. You can go to Bitcoin.com TV. How are they finding you on Steemit and DTube and all these other things?
On Steemit, it's real simple. You use the at sign in front of everyone's handle, and I'm at Terry Brock. That's one word, all lowercase. It has to be lowercase in Steemit. So you just go there, at Terry Brock, you'll find me. And most everywhere else, I'm Terry Brock, and you'll find TerryBrock.com.
But you said DTube's independent, but you'll find it that same way?
Oh, yeah, the DTube is it's independent, but it is supported by the Steemit community. So everything that you do on DTube factors over there. Matter of fact, I'll give you an idea. A lot of us go to conferences, conventions, seminars, et cetera. We know the importance of that, going to the physical thing. I do that regularly as a journalist. I went over and covered, I think it was like my 20th year covering CES, where I get together every January with 175,000 of my closest friends from all over the world. I had a wonderful opportunity there. This time, I was chosen to interview the general manager of Alibaba.com, the top guy who works right there with Jack Ma. They asked me for his first ever English language interview. They wanted me to interview him. So I did. I recorded it right there in the press room. I did all of it myself, put it out there with some other pictures, and I made over $1,000 from being at CES doing posts like that. Think about each of you. You are in different places where you touch base with a celebrity in that niche, whatever niche it might be. That person, oh, everyone wants to talk with them. That's cool. Video record that, put it over on DTube, put it on YouTube, and link it back over to Steemit, and you can make some money with that.
Well, speaking of making money, I'm sorry, Kari, I had something you wanted to. Okay. Alibaba had their earnings released just yesterday. And it was sort of a blockbuster. They're released on Friday morning. Their profits, it looks like, from both organic growth and mergers and acquisitions was up 76% from the previous quarter, 66%. Their revenue was up 60%, and that was up from the previous growth of 50%. So they're doing lots of things right. They're compared with the Asian Amazon, although their presence is global also.
Mm-hmm.
What did you learn from this interview with the general manager of Alibaba.com? And how do you pronounce his name?
His name is pronounced Qiu Zhang.
Okay.
Z-H-A-N-G. Zhang. It's a popular Chinese name. And I learned, well, first of all, it was a good thing that he let me interview him because look what's happened to their success. They've made all this money since the interview. I think that the facts pretty much speak for themselves there. At least that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
That's obvious, cause and effect.
Yeah, exactly. But I was blown away. I got to tell you, Henry, I was sitting there in the press room. You know, I reserved a little room as press there, and I had Kyo sitting next to me, and there was a couple that could only fit in two of their PR people. The others were standing outside, but they were there, and just wonderful, delightful people. I literally had chills going up and down my spine. And I'm the jaded journalist. You know, they teach you a journal, you know, you sit back and you go, yeah, right, uh-huh. You know, you kind of get that jaded style to you. But I'm there going, this is amazing. Listening to what they're doing, it does not surprise me that they have done as well as they are. Because I sit there and I'm realizing I am hearing this right from his own mouth, what they are doing. The top man at Alibaba.com who works real closely right there with Jack Ma. And they're doing some innovative. He was telling about new technologies they're using to increase trade, increase that, and I'm thinking this is the way it should be, because I don't want to get over into the politics too much, but just say instead of fighting and saber rattling and all the nonsense, I use that word carefully, nonsense that governments are using to say, hey, we're going to beat you up, no, we're going to beat you up, etc. Why don't we just follow Alibaba's lead and say, let's go out and make money, not war. Figure out how to get close to each other. Those people are aggressively trying to find out how can they serve customers more. How can they make money for their partners? That was the whole reason why he was there. They wanted to empower businesses who can then make money selling on the platform of Alibaba.com. So I'm very impressed with what they're doing, and having seen it my own eyes, not just reading about it in a paper, talking when the cameras are rolling, talking with them when the cameras are not rolling. What wonderful people, and I think this is the way we could have a new world that would be better. Make money, not war.
Well, one of the things that they're doing is they have a real-time translation app that allows people to communicate in real time, but that don't speak the same language.
Right.
So if you're going to be a global company, that seems like an important component of it right there. What are some of the things that would differentiate them from Amazon? Because as you travel the world and you see all these blockchain innovations, we know Amazon has patented some blockchain applications, and same with Alibaba and some of these other companies. But what about the actual effectiveness of some of these enterprises that they're doing? How did they compare with Amazon's platform?
Well, I think Amazon is doing very well. I'm kind of biased and prejudiced toward them only because I like them. They are not a customer of mine, although they should be. But I love Prime, and I love doing what they're doing. I think Amazon is doing a lot right. One of the things I think would be most important would be, from a bigger picture, allow more use of cryptocurrency freely. I was listening a little bit to what you were talking about before it came on about the regulations and what's going on. We've got more regulation in the United States, which really holds back and cuts back. Many companies have left the state of New York because New York has such stringent financial controls. They're saying, fine, keep your controls. We're out of here. Look at Japan. They have retail, over 200,000 retail stores that accept Bitcoin as legal currency. And it is fueling opportunities for people to be able to do a lot. I think of a mother who is a single mother in an inner city, maybe in a third world country. She can now take, and many of them are doing, earning with crypto, and very easily do business, buy and sell, by just having what most people have, a cell phone. They might not have a bank account. Over 2 billion people on the planet don't even have a bank account, and more are also underbanked. Now we have the opportunity with crypto to open up a world of possibilities so that mother can take care of doing something to find a way to make money through cryptocurrency, and nobody's going to stop her. No one can say, no, we deny your credit card. No, we're not going to give you a credit card. No one's going to say, no, you can't have a bank account. She just gets it, makes fun do it, buys what she needs, purchases and sells that way. And I think crypto is going to be a revolution, already is revolutionizing our world, and I say let's see it go even farther.
We're speaking with Terry Brock. The website is terrybrock.com, TerryBrock.com. You can also find him on Bitcoin.com TV. He's the host of that. And on Steemit.com, Steemit.com, at Terry Brock. We're going to continue the conversation with him on the other side of this break. You're listening to The Henry Raine Show. Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Byte Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Byte Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Byte Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Byte Federal ATM near you. Go to ByteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's ByteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on The Henry Raine Show.
There's a new way to experience wellness. Hi, I'm Laura Alcover, owner and operator of Alcover Massage. We're the first business in Bradenton's Village of the Arts to accept cryptocurrency. Whether you use Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, or Litecoin, you can now pay for quality massage therapy using cryptocurrency at Alcover Massage. So if you seek medical massage or a relaxing session with light pressure, your session will be conducted by a talented therapist. You'll be glad you booked with us. Check out and like our Facebook page where you can book online in seconds. And remember to tell your friends. Give us a call, 941-592-3187. That's 941-592-3187. Alcover Massage, quality massage therapy in your neighborhood. MA number 50525, MM number 34081.
Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM, heard every Saturday from 12 to 1:30, sometimes a little bit longer. And we want to remind you about the podcast available pretty much on all the podcast platforms. Just search Henry Rain Show and find the one that you prefer. Also coming up, the different meetups around the area. The next one will be Wednesday, May 16th, 5:30 p.m. at Connect Bradenton, the new home for the meetups. And that will be the Bradenton Blockchain Business and Development Meetup. And then the fourth Saturday of the month will be the Bradenton Bitcoin and Cryptocurrency Meetup, which will be at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturdays at Connect Bradenton. That's the fourth Saturday. Third Wednesday, fourth Saturday for these meetups. We've been speaking with Terry Brock. He is a certified professional speaker, a member of the Speaker Hall of Fame, and terrybrock.com. is the website. Find him on Steemit, steemit.com, at Terry Brock, and check him out at bitcoin.com TV. Augie is even making notes. That's a first here. Terry.
I have a pretty good memory, actually.
That's in the last year we've been doing this. I don't know if I've seen Augie write down anybody's place of...
Well, Terry, I've heard your voice before on other presentations. I'm trying to recall where, but I definitely have heard you make presentations, so you must do other things other than Bitcoin.
Oh, yes. I've been talking about technology and relationship marketing since, about 35 years now, so I figure I'm just getting started. After 35 years of doing it, I'm just a place to get started.
I have a friend who's 105, and he drives a Mercedes by himself at night.
Cool. So, I like it.
And his name is New Man.
And he might have seen that story about two elections ago. He was a write-in candidate for Congress here in this area on the south side of Tampa Bay.
Joe Newman, of all things.
Now that Augie's caused me to digress, I just got to put the time relationship on for a 105-year-old man. When he was on our show when we were doing political stuff, he talked about the czar kicking his mom and dad out of Russia. First they sent him to Siberia, and then the czar sent him out of Russia, and they came to the U.S. and then started a life like so many other people.
And they survived the revolution.
Yeah. So it takes you back. You're right. You're just getting started, Terry.
There's hope ahead.
So
let's bring it back to blockchain because, well, tell us where you're traveling because it seems like you're always coming back from some blockchain or cryptocurrency conference or technology conference. Where have you been recently? Where are you going?
Well, just a little while ago, I was listening to you during the break, and you had All the Way Up. That's with Jeff Berwick, and Jeff Berwick is the one that headed up a conference down in Acapulco, and for the fourth year in a row, I was the master of ceremonies there. Jeff Berwick headed that up, and he's a good buddy of mine, and to see, we had like 1,700 people there from around the world that wanted to hear about cryptocurrency, about freedom, and about liberty, and living life the way you want without harming anyone else. And it's kind of nice to see this happening worldwide. It's not just an American phenomenon. I think too many Americans think the world begins and ends between the Atlantic and the Pacific. And there's many more things out there. So for me, I'm getting to travel a lot, different places, looking at heading up to New York for some conferences coming up in a little bit. And for me, the way I live is any time, any moment, I could get a call and have to hop on a plane and go someplace around the world. I say have to, I get to, and it's a fun thing to do. But I think I like to look at the world more than just through American lens, but to understand the complexities and the opportunities for many people around the world.
Terry, I just got to jump in. I got to say, I agree with you so much. The potential for changing things and doing good within this is really exciting to me. And
yeah.
I kind of just want to be you, too.
Oh, well, I got you don't have
to be really
you,
nice.
The best you. But I'll tell you what, by the way, I will make this offer to those of you there in the studio. I can help you on the steam at things, or you want to do some things, like Sabine, if you wanted some help specific, nitty-gritty, bolting, how do you do it, give me a holler. I'll be happy to help you.
I'll take you up on that.
All right. Well, some people that might need some help from Terry, but I don't think they're going to ask for it, is the U.S. House Subcommittee that has holding a meeting next week on blockchain technology and supply chain management, according to notice by the Subcommittee on Science, Space, and Technology. If they had invited you to come to that, what would you be saying to them, Terry?
Well, it would depend on exactly what they're looking for. I like to, as a speaker, I like to customize, and I want to figure out what exactly they're doing. I mean, I've got a pretty good idea, but I would suggest to them, I understand they want to embrace regulation, but I also would compliment many of the regulatory bodies in the United States that tend to say, well, we understand regulation, and we know that it's important, but we don't want to stifle innovation. Too many things in the past have been stifled, not just with crypto, I mean throughout the centuries, because overcautious people say, no, let's not do it. I think of over in England, in 1868, I believe it was, they came up with the idea of a car. They literally had it over in England, but they had the Red Flag Act, famously passed back then, that in order to use this car, it could not go more than 4 miles an hour. You had to have one man with a red flag running out in front of it, warning people, and you had to have two people inside the car itself. Well, that stifled the innovation. And guess what happened? A few years later, the Germans came up, Carl Benz came up with a car and named it after his daughter, Mercedes. And then we saw the auto industry take off over here, et cetera. And I would say to Congress, say, I understand what you're trying to do. You mean well, but best to keep hands off. You know, let people do this on their own. Now, are people going to make mistakes and lose money? Yeah, it's educational. We don't want it to happen. But trying to be the helicopter parents that are going to be there in Congress historically doesn't work. It starts with good intentions but ends with bad results.
On this point, there are things called Ponzi schemes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And
one
so,
of the biggest is Social Security.
You call that a Ponzi? Do you really?
Terry, are you single?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
I
love
with
you.
My partner who is here in the other room right now, Judah. So we're together.
So we would have that conversation if all dollars were taxed equally, right?
Yeah, I think that I would try to stay away and get as little taxation as
possible. Oh, see, there we disagree. I think you can't run government without some form of revenue.
Oh, I understand what you're saying. I would love to sit down with you with some beverages of choice and talk about that.
Absolutely.
I feel that everything should be done peacefully and voluntarily.
Terry, yeah, I'm going to pick up this gauntlet since it got thrown down. I usually try and stay a little bit aloof from Augie's political stuff, but really there isn't anything unsustainable about the Social Security system if the baby boomers would just die off a little bit faster.
Yeah, that's right. You know, the baby boomers would just die off, it'd be okay, according to many people. But I think that, no, if you look at the actuarial tables and the reports from the United States government, I mean, the Secretary of the Treasury and the people that have to make the regular thing, they say, we're running out of money. And matter of fact, we really are upside down right now.
Yeah, because it stops at 102. That's why.
102,000 income. Right. Yeah. Well, the millennials are going to have a baby boom, and they'll take care of us. So, but keep attributing to the IRA. No, we'll cover both sides here. All right. So, Terry, let me get off that tangent for a while, at least for a few minutes as we wrap up the show, because a lot of times I go and I try and tell people just how much blockchain, opposed to the cryptocurrencies, which is another topic, but just blockchain technology, how it's going to change so many aspects of our life. But I'm sure that you can tell people much better than any of us here in the studio can. So when you get your 5 minutes in front of an audience or something and you're trying to make them aware of why this is important and relevant to them, what do you see in the near and not too distant future in the change that blockchain will bring to us?
I think blockchain changes are going to be enormous. That's where Bitcoin and all the other currencies are on top of. The real thrust, the real power is in blockchain. And I've heard many people say, and I'd have to agree, I think it's even bigger than the Internet. Because the Internet, when it got started and when it was going, it was about communication, and it was about staying in touch with people. Now we use it for more advanced communication, and it's wonderful. We still use it. But blockchain gives you the ability to do so many things, one of which is what you were talking about, Ethereum, making smart contracts. When you can say it's going to be dependent not on hiring some people that are really, really smart and really, really care, and we're going to give them a percentage of it, but rather we trust mathematics. And mathematics doesn't care whether you had a good day or you're on vacation. It does what needs to be done so that we can process goods and services, and it's going to change so much with the healthcare. It's going to really add a wonderful dimension to healthcare so that we have the ability to share privately and only when the patient wants to with the right medical professionals so they can get access to it and lower the cost because we won't have to have as much of the paperwork and the regulations. The security of it will be even stronger because blockchain is immutable, meaning it cannot be changed. And we know that when we start...
That is where we agree, Terry.
That's a really important area.
And one of the things that we're looking about is just in the auto industry and how things will change there. How do you see our lifestyle changing as the digital wallets are being put into the transportation vehicles, as the autonomy takes hold, as the smart contracts can be implemented in these vehicles? What do you see?
I think overall it's going to be very good. I think it'll be opposed initially, like much technology has been throughout the centuries. A new technology that we don't understand, we're confused, we don't know, and a confused mind always says no. But I find that if we look at autonomous cars, by the way, whoever came up with the term automobile years ago maybe knew something we didn't know. I don't know. But it's going to be much safer. I mean, just today, right here from our place, and we're in a high rise, and we looked out, there was an auto accident earlier this morning, and a lot of ambulances, and I hope nobody was hurt, but it looked really bad. Somebody apparently turned too fast, another one hit them and T-boned them. And I thought, you know, that would never happen with an autonomous car, with an auto-driven car, or at least the technology would be there to say, no, you can't because the light has not turned, or the car is coming too fast. It would sense all this. It's going to be much, much safer, much like flying today is safer than it's ever been before, largely because of the automation we're putting in. I think for the auto industry, and I grew up in that, I worked my way through undergrad school working in the factories in Michigan, where I was born and raised, and I see where the auto industry is. I think that blockchain technology coupled with the Internet of Things, coupled with robotics, is going to make it much, much safer. Instead of slaughtering 30-some thousand people every year needlessly on our highways here in the United States alone, we can get around that. Now, is it going to be perfect? No. And are people going to die? Yes. Tragically, we've seen that happen, I think, two or three times already where our autonomous car did result in the death of someone. And we can't give up then. People died in aircraft when it first came out, and they still do.
So on this point, Terry, autonomous cars, are they going to allow 90-year-old people to sit in them who have dependency of other kinds and not worry about transportation?
I think that's one of the best features of it, that now this 97-year-old person who still is functional can think, and she can get out, do a lot, he can get over and do it. We can now have a reliable, ultra-safe vehicle that can pick them up and take them where they need to go so they feel much more free and rich in their life. They don't have to say, oh, geez.
Florida is auto-dependent, actually, right now. Florida is auto-dependent. And we have hurricanes that people can't escape. There's no rail system to save them. And airlines don't go anywhere. So those big links are missing in this wonderful, modern, unquote, state, a state of existence. Excuse me.
Terry, we're up against the clock here. We've been speaking with Terry Brock. TerryBrock.com is where you can start your journey into Terry Brock world. Terry Brock, TerryBrock.com. You can also find him on Bitcoin.com TV as the host. You can find him on Steemit, STEMIT.com, at Terry Brock. And then also you might even try the traditional business journal. And is there a newsprint business journal anymore, or is it all online?
Oh, yeah, we have both. We have papers, 43 papers, but most people are choosing now to consume it more digitally. I think that there's always going to be a place for paper, but I frankly like the digital better because I can double-click on a word when I don't know what it means, and it's just nice to see that, or I can make highlights of them and put them together. So on business journals, we're available on both paper and online.
Terry, how many times have you been reading a book and tried double-clicking on a page? I've done that before.
Oh, I do it regularly. I read it now in my Note 8. I just, by the way, Steam It and Santa Claus brought me and my partner a note, two Note 8s. And so you can really make money with this stuff. But I read my Kindle books, and when I don't understand a word, I literally just hold it down or double-click, and then it comes up with the dictionary and says, oh, that word means such and such.
All right. Well, Terry, we've got to say goodbye. Any last, in the last seconds, anything you want to leave the audience with before we go?
I think that right now is the time to really take action. Don't sit around thinking about it. Learn. Take the action by learning and saturate your mind with the good of what's available today, not only with blockchain, cryptocurrency, but also other dimensions that are out there. It's a marvelous time to be alive today if we see it and we seize the moment, but you got to do it. No one can do it for you.
Well, Terry Brock, thank you for joining us today. I've seen two firsts here. Augie taking notes on your contact info. Sabine with that faraway look in her eyes. And Cara is blocked by the microphone, so there's probably a first for her, too. But she's only been here 2 weeks. Everything's almost a first with her. So.
All right. Well, I'm raising a toast to all of you down I-4 and down 75 from here in Orlando to you.
I hope you make it on the dead-end road.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Terry. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thank you. Bye now.
Okay, well, I told you that. Going to be a full content, and that's half of the show.
He's very good. I remember him when he was on the show.
I remember Terry when he was on the show, and I have heard him in other presentations. And the thing is, he's quick, and he grabs onto what you're talking about right away. He does have a point of view that I don't agree with, but that's what's still great about people who are intelligent.
Everybody has a point of view you don't agree with.
That's always true. Absolutely. You're right.
Well, it makes it interesting because Augie's under the impression he's right.
It wouldn't be the same without him, that's for sure. I got to say, Terry, though, yeah, that man is singing my song on all things technology and the potential right here, right now.
His partner won't let you have him, though.
No, I'll work on that.
But she will let you have his knowledge about seeing it. So at least you get that little piece. Cara, we didn't get to your token trouble.
Well,
are you going to be here next week?
Well, what I think I'm going to do, and I can't believe I am saying this without fully checking it out, but I think I will attempt to take lessons from Terry today and put them on Steemit for my token troubles. So I'll use Steemit and for the segment.
And
that
check
we
it
do.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah.
And report on it next week.
The question was, are you going to be
confused.
Here next week?
Oh, because I didn't actually answer the question.
Yeah.
So I can be here next week. I certainly can.
Well, why don't you do that reporting then about what you experienced?
So it'll come in two forms. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
Well, you could tease a little bit of it on the show. You could follow his advice, tease a little bit on the show, and then people come to your Steemit to get the full course.
So here's what's coming. Airdrops. Can you get fat on them? Or can you get a tapeworm? And somebody out there, at least one person, is bearish on Stellar. And the more I read, the more I love Stellar. And so I'm going to report on who you should think is in trouble.
Okay.
Well, that's a mystery.
Yes. I was looking confused before.
That's why I'm here. I just keep it going. There is no end to it. This is why she fits in so well.
And we hope to have Andy back. I know Lenart was out there. By the way, everybody was texting on WhatsApp while the show was going on, and I'm here trying to fly the remainders of the space station. We will be back next week with another Henry Rain show, and maybe more people in the studio, maybe less. We never really know, but we'll be here.